truly with thankful hearts unto God that we stand before you this afternoon. Great blessing indeed. And I thought about several times this morning. I go back to the time when I was not always early days, youngest preacher in the bunch. Not too unusual now when I look around and I'm the oldest preacher in the bunch. So we've come a long life and a good life, one that I thank God for.
Amen.
And I want to say just this. First, I appreciate the preaching that you heard this morning. Outstanding.
Amen.
God bless both the brethren so wonderfully well. And with Brother Daniel, you his father. And I remember one right after I started preaching, because I'd met him before that. But Brother Elsie came to a fifth weekend meeting we were having at Shoal Creek, where I was just been pastor for a short time. And I was telling him how much I appreciated him being there. Hadn't specifically invited, just let people know of the meeting. And he told me the reasons that he wanted to be there. And I sure did like the reasons he gave. And I feel like for sure that if I had a friend in those days, Brother Elsie was my friend. And he showed support in so many ways of me and encouraged me greatly. And Brother Runny, I want to share this experience with him. I had the privilege of baptizing, and it was not a warm day when we baptized. It was 15 degrees in mid-afternoon. And when he came out of the water before he got to the house, he had ice in his eyebrows. So I tell you a little bit about how cold it was. But God blessed us. Blessed him. I had no ill effects from it. Had a great time. I never felt any better. When I first stepped in the water, it was cold. But after I stepped out in the water, I paid no attention to the cold water. I did feel the Spirit and power of God. And that was a wonderful day. So I had some good memories going through my head this morning while these two preachers preached. Now, we don't want to try to live in memories. We want to live in the present. And look forward to whatever future there is. May not be much more for me, but there's some in the sound of the Lord. I've just sat out there this day at the lunch table, and I looked at the ones that were standing around that table, these young people. One thing that I've appreciated about Macedonia Church ever since I came here the first time, I don't remember any times for what there's been young people.
Amen.
In the last several years, at least. And I thank God for you, and I want to encourage you all that I can to stay with the truth. I believe you're with it now. Stay with it.
Amen.
And practice it while you live. That's probably more than necessary, but I had that on my mind. I wanted to say it. That's the reason I said it. I hope it will encourage somebody.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want to discourage nobody.
That's right.
If what I say, I'd rather not say nothing than what I said to be discouraging.
Right.
But I want to encourage you in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because we've got a great God that is able to do great things.
Amen.
And help us in great ways.
Yes.
And we live in a day where we've always needed it. But if there's ever been a time in this 81-year-old man's life that I feel the need for the presence of God is right now.
Amen.
I don't think we've faced a time in these 81 years that I've lived that's anywhere near like the present time. And that concerns me concerning our young people. And that's the reason that I hope that all the ones not any here probably my age, but the ones close to my age, if you would spend your days and time thinking and showing the young people how much you appreciate them and encouraging them to stand in the truth, walk in the truth, live in the truth as it is in Christ, and hold up the banner of King Jesus and walk the way of truth. And you know, there's nothing is nothing that will speak any louder than your walk in the Lord.
Amen.
Will speak. You don't have words that you can say loud enough that will encourage people as much as it will if you just walk there.
That's right.
Live there. Let your life be there. I want to read, first of all, there's two scriptures on my mind. I hope I can connect them. Pray for us. Second chapter of Romans, the 13th verse. For not the hearer of the law, not the hearers of the law are justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. All right, if it takes doing, then God must have already been there. When we call on somebody to do something, we're speaking to those that God's already brought from a state of death in sin to life in Christ, and trusting that the gospel has showed them there's something for them to do now.
Amen.
While we live.
Yeah.
And now, any time somebody criticizes or somebody saying something about time salvation, you pay very little attention to it, but you can always say that it's now salvation.
That's right.
And all that we preach for here is to reach the child of God, to help them now. Jesus Christ on the cross taking care of everything. He'll take to enable you to enjoy eternal bliss with God in heaven. But we speak to you that we might help you live in the way of Jesus Christ and enjoy the blessings of God now.
Amen.
So if you don't like time salvation, call it now salvation.
Amen.
We'll help you now while we're living. That's the purpose of the whole gathering together today, is that we might be helped right now. We might go home strengthened in the Lord. And I tell you, if you carry what you've already heard home with you, it'll strengthen you.
Amen.
In the Lord. And I want you to be convinced of that. But look at this with me, if you will. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not a law, are a law in themselves. They didn't have the law of Moses, but they had the law of God.
That's right.
And don't you forget that for one minute. The law of God was there. They didn't have the law of Moses, but the law of God was there. When these, when the Gentiles have not the law, didn't have the law of Moses, which is contained in the law, these having not the law, law in itself, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Man, they have a hard time doing that, wouldn't
you? Yeah.
But God can. And God not only can, God does. Write in the hearts. Written in their hearts. And their conscience, in the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. The only conscience, the conscience that we're speaking of here, the dead in trespasses and in sin don't have
that. That's right.
So we're speaking to those that God has given a spiritual conscience.
That's right.
And that's what I want you to remember and hold to. And yet, now, I could probably spend the rest of my time if the Lord bless me there, but I've got some things in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that I want to spend a little time talking to you about, and I'm not going to take a whole lot more time, but I want to see this. There was, first verse of the 10th chapter, there was a certain man, Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion, a band of the Italian, the band called the Italian band. All right, here is a Gentile. Here is one that had not had the law of Moses, but I want you to look at him. A centurion, his name was Cornelius, and he was a centurion, a band called the Italian band. A devout man.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to see. He was a devout man.
Yeah.
He was one that God had touched. Although,
right,
all probability is he never heard the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
All probability is he never heard the gospel. But here's one that had not heard the gospel, that was doing some things that the one in the world that has not been born of the Spirit of God don't know anything about.
Amen.
But here's one that was doing some things that only a born-again child of God has any conscience of.
That's right.
Or any understanding of. Look at it with me, if you will, please. And when he a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Now, we don't have to question what kind of a person is under consideration here, do we? We don't have to question that. We don't have to even think about that. We know that we're talking about a born-again child of God, born from above, born of love, born of God. And this is what enables him to have this conscience that he has, and to have this spirit that he has, and to be desirous of the things that he desires. Look with me a little bit further. He saw in a vision. And now there's a lot to be said in these verses, but I want to quickly just spottedly go through this chapter. Pray for him, please.
Yes, sir.
And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, an angel coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Not talking about a dead alien sinner.
Right.
Not talking about one that don't know God, but talking about one that's acquainted with God, and one that desired to pray to God, and one that felt great need of God. And when you find one like that, you can, if that's your feelings to some degree, you can expect to meet him in heaven someday. And I believe that we will. I want you to know now, I thank God that we've had the gospel preached to us today.
That's right.
I thank God that I've lived in a time that the gospel has been preached all my life. But you know, child of God, isn't it great to know that God's great whether the gospel's being preached or not?
Yes.
That needs to be. There's much benefit in it. But even if it's not being preached, and God's elect family is there, he knows how to reach them. And this spirit and power of God, and he knows how to show them some things they need to be doing. And this man was doing just that. And so he gathers together, and I won't take time to read this, but he sins. God tells him exactly where to sin, tells him who to sin for, who to ask for when he gets there. And that's what I hope that we can rejoice in. And now when this man comes, when Peter comes, he told him to send for him. And when he comes, he'll tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I want to look at the 23rd verse. Then call he them in and lodge them. And on the morrow, Peter, this is after the men had come and made their voice known as to what they were looking for, certain brethren which from Joppa accompanied him, and on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and his friends.
Yeah.
How many of you called somebody and asked them to come to church this weekend? I want that to be a sobering thought.
Yes.
I do. I thank God for you here. And I know you're here because you wanted to be. But who did we call? Who else did we tell about it? Who else did we encourage to be here? But this man, he had gathered together. He had encouraged them to call together his kinsmen and his friends. And as Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, that shows how little Peter knew. I mean, that shows how little Cornelius knew. How little he knew. But yet, he knew something. He knew enough to be doing the biddings of God to the degree that he knew at that time. But now, look at this. But Peter knows exactly how to take care of this situation. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am a man. I myself also am a man. Worship God.
Yeah.
Worship God.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, I get happy when I hear preachers preach like they did this morning.
Amen.
I get happy about that, but I am not ready to fall down to them. I'm not ready to follow them just because of who they are.
Right.
I want to follow them because of what they're teaching.
That's right.
And the Spirit of God to be in it. Oh, that's the reason. I'll tell you, it's just as true as it can be. There will be people, men, women, boys, and girls in your life that you will have a sense to like better than others. But when we start making a stream difference in those that God sends, as long as they're preaching and teaching the truth, that's what we want. That touches our soul. That feeds us with spiritual food. Those we need to also walk with and encourage them to keep on walking with the Lord. Now, I want to drop down. I'm going to give way to Brother Roger in just a few minutes. I want to drop down here and see. I believe I want to, it's too much to try to read it all, but let me get a thought here in the 29th verse. Therefore come I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And now Cornelius begins to relate his experience with the Lord. Oh, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Isn't it good to hear the children of God relate their experience? And then, let's look down to verse 36. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. I believe you heard that this morning, don't you?
Yeah.
I believe you've heard that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Amen.
And that's what we want to continue to hear, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. If He's Lord of all, if His truth is preached, we need very much to obey it.
God.
Now, you know, the ones that this gospel you heard this morning is going to really help? Ones that remember when you walk out the door. Now, we had a good time while He was preaching, didn't we?
Yeah.
But now if it's really going to do us good, we're going to need to carry it with us when we go home. And you know the best way to carry it with you? Practice it. Use it. You know, I don't have enough formal education to even talk about, but the part of the formal, little formal education I have, you know the part that does build, the part I've used?
Yep.
I'll tell you, there's a few things that I studied in school that I thought I was pretty good at the time. I hate to have to face it today. I hadn't used it. So, the thing that'll do you the most good about the gospel being preached, take it and use it.
That's right.
Take it and practice it.
That's right.
Take it and tell others about it. Have a good time telling others about how great God is and what a wonderful blessing He has been to you. Share it with others. And the word I send you, you know, which was published throughout Judea and beginning from Galilee after the baptism of which John preached. So he says, this that I'm conveying to you today is come from the time that John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
What does that mean? It's right here in reach of you.
That's right.
It's right here in reach of you. It's right here for you. What's in? You're looking for it to come, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
You're looking for the kingdom
right,
to come,
okay.
You're going to miss it. Because it's been years since John the Baptist preached in the wilderness of Judea.
That's right.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in reach of you now. It has been in reach of the family of God that the truth has been preached to from that day until now. God help us to see this.
Amen.
I appreciate it and love it. Now, I want to drop down just to verse 44. I'd like to spend more time, but I know that I want to be reasonable too. And here in the 44th verse, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God fell on all of them which heard the word. You know, for this to do, this that you heard this morning for doing any good, you've got the Holy Spirit of God has got to, it touched the minister, but for you to get it, it had to touch you too.
That's right.
And then you praise God for it. And how do you do that? By obeying it, by walking in it, by telling others about it, by glorifying God with your action. And they are the circumcision. These are the ones now that traveled with Peter to Cornelius' house. And they are the circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Man don't have that power, but God does.
That's right.
And now if you want to see the church, yes, it came first to the Jews. But right here we see it moving from the Jews to the Gentiles.
Right.
And you know, God is able. God, the same God, is just as able today to take this gospel and to carry it or send it somewhere where it is not being preached today. We've experienced some of that in recent past, but the thing I want you to be aware of and keenly aware of and thank God for, He's able to get it to His children.
Right.
And it's not depending upon being prepared of man. Oh, there's some preparation on our part. But it's God that gives us the qualification to qualify ourselves to do so. It's God's one that reaches out and touches men and sends them into areas. And I'll tell you right now, if God sends one as He sent Peter here, there's going to be some benefits.
That's right.
In what He teaches, if He's blessed of the Lord to teach it. And there was great benefits in what Peter taught these people. And look at them with me as I close today. While Peter, for they that heard them speak with, they heard them speak with tongues and magnified them, answered, and they that heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, to receive the Holy Ghost as well as we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can any forbid?
No.
That's what we're looking for. Those that the Spirit and power of God has touched them and brought them from a state of death and sin, and the gospel has touched them and tells them it's their duty and responsibility. Baptism won't make heaven one bit better for you.
Right.
Sure will make this life a lot better.
Sure. Amen.
That sure will make this life a lot better. I want you to believe that with all my heart. That's what we're here for today. We're not here to try. Jesus taking care of everything He'll take to house us in heaven. And that heaven was prepared from the foundation of the world. And everything that is needed. You know, the Bible don't tell us a whole lot about heaven. And you know, when Peter was able to ascend into the third heaven, he didn't tell a great deal even about what it did mean. But now we are talking to what the Scriptures teaches us is what today means.
Right.
And what this gospel that you heard preached this morning means. And if you really want it to do you good, you'll use it this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, right on through your life.
Amen.
That's where the gospel helps you. Oh, it's good to be here and hear it, but that's not the answer. Do it. And they commanded them, and he commanded them to be baptized. He didn't suggest it to be a good idea for them to be baptized. And if you've been touched by the Spirit and power of God, by the preaching of the gospel, we're not suggesting that you be baptized. We're using God's word to command you.
That's right, man.
If you follow God, baptized, and then put on Jesus Christ, an open public profession of your faith in God,
right.
And then walk there.
Amen.
That's where the benefits are, is walking there. Not saying I believe it, but walking there, proving with your life that you believe what you heard preached this morning.
Amen.
And then that commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed that him to tarry certain days. May God bless you. I love you in Christ.
Amen. Amen.